A day Wall Street's been waiting for.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. The Obama administration's much-anticipated toxic purge plan is being unveiled today. Now, will it live up to investor expectations? The Treasury Department will be announcing how it plans to purge as much as $1 trillion in what are essentially radioactive bank assets. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has put together a sneak peek for us. Jeremy, what do we know at this point?
Well, we know, Bob, that this public-private partnership will be open to all kinds of investors. That includes pension funds, hedge funds, private equity. Now, administration officials say having the private sector involved will be better in terms of pricing these assets. That's been something that's been very difficult. You don't want to price them too high. You don't want to price them too low. So the FDIC is going to hold auctions and then provide financing to the winning bidders.
Well, Jeremy, there's been a company making a little bit of news lately called AIG.
Yep.
And how much concern is there that investors won't want to participate in this plan if they know their institutions might be subject to retroactive demands from Congress like those ones on AIG?
There's a lot of concern, and the administration is making every attempt that it can to ease concerns about that and say, you know what, this is a new group of investors, these are the good guys, and they will not be subject to retroactive regulation by Congress, Congress coming in and saying, you can't pay your people this, this is what we're going to do with these profits.
Well, what about that other kind of popular criticism that for investors, it's heads they win, tails the taxpayers lose again? Isn't that still the case here?
Yeah, to some extent it is. But clearly the private sector is not going in right now and buying these toxic mortgage-backed securities on its own. If it were, we wouldn't have to do this. So the risk factor had to be taken down a notch. And I think it's interesting to think about it in terms of skydiving with only one parachute. You've got Uncle Sam. He's willing to go tandem with you. He'll step out of the plane. He'll absorb the bulk of the landing. But if it's a successful dive, the private investors will get the same thrill for just a fraction of the price.
Ah, cheap thrills. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy Hobson in New York.
Thanks, Bob.
All this news about more government rescue plans is a mood enhancer on world markets. Tokyo's Nikkei gained 3.5%, setting a six-week high. In Hong Kong, a jump of nearly 5%, and European exchanges are up as much as 2% this hour. The flip side, oil prices are up too, above $52 a barrel, on the idea that today's stock rally might finally bring stronger global energy demand. Cities and states are basically tapped out these days, and most have cut their budgets as far as they can. Now they're looking for some other creative ways to bring in money. Caitlin Carroll reports.
If you live in Detroit and haven't paid your traffic tickets, you may want to get on that. Starting today, the city won't renew licenses for drivers with outstanding tickets. Detroit's got $30 million in fines it wants to collect. Other cities are upping fees for bus service, trash collection, and meals for low-income seniors. Fred Murphy teaches management at Temple University. He says with tax revenues shrinking, cities have to raise money other ways.
Yeah, we all have to learn how to live within our budgets, and some things that are nice to have but aren't necessities have to go.
In Detroit, everything's pretty much already gone, and some residents say going after traffic fines just seems petty. But Detroit native Renee McCoy is philosophical about propping up the budget.
But parking tickets, man, if that helps, I got my little $615. And I wouldn't have done it if they hadn't threatened me either.
Now the city has just a couple $100 million to go. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com/new offers. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Last week, Michelle Obama turned the first shovel for a vegetable garden on the south lawn of the White House. According to the National Gardening Association, 7 million American households plan to start their own vegetable gardens this year. That's a 19% increase from 2008. Not surprisingly, more than half those people say they're doing it to save money. But what if you don't have a green thumb? Well, a few companies have popped up recently that help people use their outdoor space to grow nothing but food. Andrew Stelzer has more from San Francisco.
In the backyard of an old Victorian house, Sarah Wyman empties a bag of soil and pours it onto a clearing of dirt. She picks up a shovel and demonstrates something called double digging.
This is just to make sure that the roots are encouraged to grow straight down instead of compete horizontally so that you can grow things a lot closer together.
It's part of a day-long organic gardening crash course by Wyman's company, All Edibles. They design and build your garden and teach you how to take care of it. First-time gardeners Paul Silverman and Laura Shapiro are doing a new low-budget package developed by All Edibles. The entire garden gets built in one day, and the clients have to help do the work.
But we wanted to do that anyway. We wanted to be a part of the entire process.
And even though that sweat equity helps save money, they're still planting the garden in phases.
This is the first third of the yard, and then somewhat later, then we can do an installment with another portion, and that will help keep it manageable on a cash flow basis.
This one-day build costs $1,400. Not cheap, but the garden planted today should produce enough vegetables and herbs to feed a small family for the entire year. Even with the poor economy, All Edibles co-founder Kirk Saunders says business for his four-year-old company is good.
You know, gas prices go up, food transportation costs go up. If you're growing it yourself, you don't really have that problem.
By 3 o'clock, the backyard has 15 different crops planted, ranging from blueberries to broccoli. There's a drip irrigation system so that Shapiro and Silverman won't have to water the 150-square-foot garden by hand.
But look, we can harvest our dinner. And not just salad.
We can harvest four people's dinners, I think.
I hope so. I hope we have that kind of productivity out here.
A few other edible landscaping companies have recently sprung up around the country. The National Gardening Association says during the 1970s oil crisis, vegetable gardens were more common than at any time since. Those tough but fertile economic times may be upon us again. In San Francisco, I'm Andrew Stelzer for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Our website is marketplace.org. And thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.